to God guides our destiny. As we end the book of Ruth today, this message really hits home to all of us, that God has a unique destiny for each of us, that God really wants to take us somewhere and bring us to this wonderful future that He has for us. But it takes trust. It takes us walking in obedience to Him, understanding that He's leading us even though we cannot see where we're going. It was said by, I think it was Martin Luther King Jr., that faith is taking the next step even though you don't see the staircase. That's what it takes on our part, is following where God wants us to go. And that means obedience. Every decision we make has a repercussion to it. Everyone. There's this courthouse in Ohio, and it stands in this really unique place. When the rain falls on the north side of the courthouse and drains on down, it flows into Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River. If a raindrop falls on the south side of the courthouse, it flows into the Mississippi River and on to the Gulf of Mexico. The distance between these two, 2,000 miles apart. Think about it. A raindrop falling on the top of this courthouse with just a little breeze blowing will make the difference on which side of the courthouse it falls. And ultimately makes a difference whether it's 2,000 miles apart from one another. Spiritual application for that is in our lives, every decision matters. Even though it doesn't seem like a big decision, a big choice that we're making right now, it affects other people and it affects our life. And just that small decision today can make us drift a long way away from God. A small decision. What decisions are you making today that you know that are good for you? And what decision are you making that's really just pushing you further and further away from God? See, today as we study this last chapter in the small book of Ruth, we begin to see how small decisions in the life of Ruth and in Boaz, how that changed basically the whole future of humanity. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, chapter 4. Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. It was said, even when it looks impossible, when all the odds are against you and it seems permanent, the Creator of the universe, the Most High God, can bring your dreams back to life. That God really does have a wonderful future in store for you and for me. We read this last chapter of the book of Ruth. Remember last Sunday we were talking about Ruth and going to the threshing floor, and she meets Boaz there, and the custom in the Hebrew people at the time was that you uncovered the man's feet, and she laid at his feet, and that signified that she chose him to be her kinsman redeemer. In other words, for him to buy the property which her deceased husband owned, and then that would mean that he married her and would have offspring. So Ruth chooses him, and to protect her, he gets her to stay there the night, but there's no physical interaction in between them. And the next morning, before anybody can see, she goes back home. Boaz gets up the next morning to take care of business as a kinsman redeemer. Beginning in verse 1, it says, meanwhile, Boaz went to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down, and Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day that you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. And at this, the guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Verse 7 says, now in the early times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. That'd be nice today. Save some attorney fees. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal and handed it to him. Then Boaz announced to the elders and to all the people, today you are my witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his homeland. Today you are the witnesses. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we're witnesses, and may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah, and he famous in Bethlehem, through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he made love to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive. And she gave birth to a son, and the women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. And then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. And the women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, who became king of Israel. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we thank you for this account in Ruth's life and Naomi and Boaz. God, we've even gleaned so many truths out of this over the last few Sundays. God, that you show us that you ultimately have a plan if we only trust you and walk in obedience to you. God, your plan will be realized by us. God, we can't see it, and all we can see sometimes is emptiness. But Father, when we trust you and walk in faith, oh God, you always pour into our lives good things, more than we could ever imagine. Help us even today as we walk through this passage to find some things that you want to speak to us deep within our soul. In Christ's name, amen. So there are three insights today that we can learn from this very passage where about claiming God's destiny for our life. The first insight is this: expect a struggle to acquire your desire. Expect there to be a struggle when you want to acquire the very desires that God has in place for you. Don't expect things just to go smoothly. It takes a lot of faith, a lot of trust, and listen, there may be some confrontation that has to go on also for God's plan to come about. See, struggles in your life are designed to increase your faith, strengthen your fortitude, and multiply your patience to keep you dependent upon Christ Jesus to lead you through. We see this struggle and this conflict going on in Boaz, and he must see how things are transacting in his life, and he must see what's going on, and then come up with a plan to make it happen. See, Boaz must work through this business deal, this transaction with his other kinsman redeemer who's closer kin to Naomi and Ruth in order to have his bride. There's a few steps that he went through that we can learn from this very passage. Boaz took the resolve, the issue with Ruth, kinsman redeemer. So if we remember, Ruth chose Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. He was a relative. But then Boaz is honest about it. He said, look, there's a guy who's even closer kin than I am, and we must go through him first. We must make sure that he doesn't want to marry you first. So when Ruth left the threshing floor that night, Boaz gets up the very next morning and goes to the city gate. He goes there and waits for that other kinsman redeemer who's closer kin to Naomi and Ruth, who actually has the advantage over him, to come by. He has a business deal for him. So let's look at a few things, a few steps that we can notice Boaz took to resolve the issue to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. But it's also something that we can use in conflict also, or to bring about resolution. The first is this: position yourself for success. Position yourself for success. When there's things going on in your life, and you know you have to work through some stuff, put yourself in a place that you can see be successful, as Boaz did. In verse 1, Boaz went to the town gate, and he took a seat there. Just then, I like that several times it appears in Ruth, where there's that when something happens, all of a sudden, God sends the person right away. It says, just then, the family redeemer, he had mentioned earlier, came by. So Boaz called out to him, come over here and sit down, my friend. I want to talk with you. And so they sat together. Boaz prepared himself to work through these difficult situations, these difficult things, to gain Ruth as a wife. Boaz sat at the gate for two reasons. First of all is this: the city gate going out of Bethlehem was a busy place. There was a lot of foot traffic going in and out, people going out to the field to work, to harvest, some going up to the threshing floor to thresh out the grain they've already harvested, some going to other cities. So it was a busy location for him to find this other kinsman redeemer, this friend of his and relative. But it was also a place that in Boaz's day that most business transactions took place, at the city gate. So we understand that Boaz placed himself in a position to be successful. Scripture says, just then the family redeemer came by. So Boaz is sitting at the city gate. He wasn't there very long. He hadn't waited hours and hours all day long getting disgusted about it. He positioned himself in the right place, and God orchestrated what came next. The man he needed to talk to came by. And then Boaz called him over to visit with him. This was not by chance. This was God's providential plan. See, whatever you're going through, position yourself for success. Pray for God's guidance. Seek to be obedient to Him and align yourself in such a way that God will bring His will into your life. Listen, when you align yourself with God's will, you'll be amazed at how things begin to fall into place for you. Things that you never imagined would happen, God just starts bringing them into place. When you align yourself up with Him, that's what Boaz did. And in our own life, when there's a place that we need to go and that we know God is calling us to be, we need to line ourselves up with God and put ourselves in a place that God can bless us. Too many of us are running around all over the place. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm all stressed out about this. I don't know what this situation is going to hold. Besides just saying, Lord, I know You're ultimately in control. I'm going to follow You. So I'm going to put myself in alignment with You, God. because I know when I'm in alignment with you, success will be mine. The second thing we see about dealing in conflicts, that healthy conflict can result in positive outcomes. We see in Boaz that he called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, "You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She's selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech." Always remember, don't be fearful of conflict. Always take the high road and practice emotional self-control. This is what Boaz did. He prepared himself to present the case with witnesses in a variety of to verify the situation and its outcome. So here Boaz was at the city gate. He called in the 10 witnesses and he brought elders around to hear what was going on. He was really taking the high road in this. He wanted this man to see that there was no hidden secrets there. Now, Boaz didn't plot against his family redeemer to get the things his way. He was prepared to discuss the matter and with a solution in mind. He was willing to submit to the other family redeemer if necessary. Yet Boaz trusted God for his will to be done. Here's what's hard for us. Because our old nature, our old human tendency will be very selfish. And we'll want things our way. And boy, we'll fight and we'll get angry and we'll get our emotions all stirred up. It has to be our way or no way. Rather than trust God. Boaz trusted God. Now listen, he wanted to marry Ruth. He wanted the property. He wanted this woman to be his wife, and along came that property and everything. He really wanted that. But he also trusted God to get there. He didn't try anything sneaky or underhanded. He didn't try to pull a fast one on him or anything. He trusted God. See, in our lives, we too must approach conflict or struggles or difficulties not as an argument to complicate matters, rather to approach it with positive results in mind. To really approach a struggle that we're going through with a result, with a solution already in mind. Knowing that God has control over all of this. So even though we don't get everything we want, God is still in control. Because right now it may be look this way, but tomorrow it may look another. When we trust God. The third thing we see is to approach an issue with a pure heart and a clear conscience. To find the problem and stick to the issue. Verse 4 says, Boaz is talking to the kinsman redeemer, said, "I thought I should speak to you about this so you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away because I am next in line to redeem it after you." And the man replied, "All right. I'll redeem it." Now for Boaz, listen, that could have been a gut shot. Because here he was being honest and open with this other kinsman. He had to offer it to him first. Now listen, Boaz could have went and bought the property. But he would have been known in the neighborhood as being underhanded. He would have been a sly one. He would have messed up his reputation in business deals. So he opened himself up, trusting God. So he offers his kinsman redeemer the opportunity to purchase the land from Naomi. And he said, "I'll do it." Wow. Could you imagine? Wait a minute, God. Wait, this is not exactly what I thought it was going to be, God. I'm opening myself up to you. I love Ruth. I want to marry her. But what? He said, yes. In our minds, we would say, no, Lord. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It would be stressed. Hey, God still has this. See, the man wanted to buy the land for his own personal gain. Boaz had a clear conscience of what was going on. When we approach things in our life, struggles, challenges, we too must be of a clear conscience, working through difficult situations in our marriage, in our relationships, in our workplace, wherever it may be, school. We must know that we are right with God. So when we're working through this struggle, that we're not acting like the world. Boaz could have acted like the world. He could have done all kind of evil things and went underhanded. Nope, he did the right thing. When you do the right thing, God's taking care of you. Fourth thing we see is when we're going through challenges, we need to listen very carefully. See, responsive listening is a key to good communication. Boaz tells a man, listen, you can buy the property. It's yours. You have first option at it before me. But if you don't want it, I want to buy it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take it. So this other man was looking at, you know, he was looking at personal gain here, man. He just increased his land. He just increased his inheritance for his kids, all of these things. And now the rest of the story. Verse 5 says, then Boaz told him, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires you to marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family. This man, the other kinsman, was so eager to buy land because he was getting a great deal on it for his family that he didn't listen to the whole story. Wives, have you ever been in a disagreement with your husband and he didn't listen to the whole story? Husbands, have you been in disagreement with your wives and she didn't listen to the whole story? You paused because you swallowed and she jumped? We need to learn to listen carefully. Because if we don't learn to listen carefully, when there's trouble and when there's situations that come up, boy, we can land ourselves in more than we ever thought. A lot of problems. So it's important to listen carefully and completely when someone else is speaking. The family redeemer quickly took the opportunity to buy the land, but he didn't listen to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. He would have to marry Ruth and have children. When the family redeemer heard this, he quickly refused the deal. Why? Because the man was already married and he already had children. I'm sure his wife wouldn't accept his new woman, his new wife, his new bae, his sweet thing. Therefore, the man responded in verse 6, then I can't redeem it. See, he wanted the land, but he didn't want the woman. And when he gave Boaz an opportunity to finish the conversation up, there was a woman included in the deal. Just think about that, men. If you went out and bought property and a woman came with it. I'd like those 3 acres. Okay, you can have a choice of these 3 ladies. Aren't you glad that things have changed since biblical times, Old Testament times? The man said, I can't redeem it, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land, I cannot do it. The struggle was over. The conflict was handled in a manner with a solution, agreeable solution, that was found between the two. And that solution was part of God's plan all along. Can you just see this struggle going on in this conflict? And they're trying to barter over this land, and when they finally get through it, Boaz comes out on top. And the other man could have redeemed it, and Boaz been left out in the cold. And there's nothing legally he could have done about it. But you see, God had a better plan. God had a great plan. And when Boaz kept everything on up, and he was honest about everything, and he began to walk and just listen to the Spirit leading him through this, it's amazing how God took care of all the business for him. And in our lives, when we're obedient to God and walk with Him, it's amazing how He takes care of all those little details that we're stressing over, we're losing sleep over. We can't eat. We're going through all kind of turmoil. Rather than say, God, I know you have this. Lord, I know that you can take care of it. I will trust you and I will follow you. And it's amazing what he would do. It was once said that God may not have sent the difficulty, but he wouldn't have allowed it unless he had a purpose for it. God can use disappointments, closed doors, pain, and rejection to move you toward your destiny. The second insight is this: claim God's favorable will. See, by faith, claim God. Claim what God is doing in your life for his glory and expect a great outcome to follow as you follow him in obedience. Verse 9 and 10 says, "Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing here, 'You are witnesses today. I have bought from Naomi all the property from Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be a wife, be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and inherit the family property here in his hometown.' You're all witnesses today to it." It's clear that Boaz knew the process of business, right? He knew how to handle himself in business. And I believe under the guidance of God. See, he didn't put everything on the table at one time. When the refusal to purchase came from the other family redeemer, Boaz quickly sealed the deal on the land that would take the woman that he deeply was in love with. Boaz, hey, right when that man says, "Listen, I can't buy it," Boaz said, "I will." He knew God had delivered everything. He knew that God had delivered his wife to him and delivered the property to him, and he took advantage of it. He told these witnesses, "Guys, you heard this." He said it, and the guy took off his sandal, sealed the deal for him. Boaz claimed God's favorable plan for his life as well as for Ruth and Naomi. Listen, church, we must by faith claim what God wants in our lives. Bring your desires before him. Pour out your desire and pray for God to close doors and to open doors, to align your desires up with his destination for you. Listen, this is not a name it and claim it mentality. This is not a name it and claim it faith that some would have you have. No, this is say, "God, give me what you want me to have. I'll align my desires up with you." See, connecting your desires with God's destiny so that you will surely live out your dream. This is connecting your desires with God's destiny so you can live the life that you've always dreamed of. That's what God wants for you. Great things. You see, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, he says, "What no eye has seen, no ear is heard, or head of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." When you're going through difficult times, you're going through those struggles, you can't see what tomorrow has. But listen, God is already there. He's already in your tomorrow. He's already waiting on you to arrive. So when you're going through this struggle and you can't see where God is taking you, just be faithful to God. He will lead you exactly where he wants you to go. And it will be better than you've ever dreamed. Far better. Because your eyes are on God. Not on your selfish desires, but eyes on God, what you want in my life. I'll claim it now, what you want, Lord, and be better than what you can imagine. Jim Elliot said this: "God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him." The third insight, we're closing, is that God's destiny leaves your legacy of faith. That God is taking you somewhere. The only way you can realize that is if you just walk by faith, trusting him in obedience. See, future generations are impacted by the legacy of the faithful who have lived in obedience. Verse 13 through 17 tells about Ruth going and Boaz getting married and
having a child. Verse 16 says, Naomi took the boy and held him in her arms and cared for him. And the neighbors gave the boy his name, saying, this boy was born of Naomi. And they named him Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. Listen, Boaz and Ruth could have never imagined what God had in store for their son. What God had in store for the future generations. But because they were faithful to the Lord here, because they made the right decisions on this point in their life, for generation after generation after generation, God touched them and used them. They couldn't see what was going to happen. But you see, Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of a young shepherd boy we know as David, who became king of Israel. Wait, so Ruth was King David's great-grandmother? Absolutely. How could they have seen that here? They were farmers in Bethlehem. And God brought favor to their lives, and their legacy lived on into King David. And do you know who King David was? He was Jesus' ancestor. That Jesus is of the line of King David. So not only did God bring goodness to Ruth and to Boaz, they fell in love and they had a wonderful relationship, but we see where King David was born, and then above that, we see where the King of Kings was born. So not only did Ruth and Boaz affect their community and affect their country, they affected the world because of Jesus. Oh, goodness. Can we only see that this little story, this small book, almost insignificant, pushed into the pages of the Old Testament, had such a huge story that we can learn so much from for our own relationships and our own day-to-day, but also to understand that Jesus was born because of the decisions made here. Jesus, our Savior. God's plan will leave a legacy in your life. Whatever God has in store for you, I don't know. And let me tell you, you don't know. But it will leave a legacy for generations. See, when you start getting older, you begin to think about whose lives you affected. What difference has my life made over the years? You want to know that your legacy lives on beyond you. That the Christian impact that you've had with your family, with your friend, lives way beyond you. The only way that can happen is if you faithfully follow God. Just be obedient. Just follow Him. And listen, He begins to pour good things in your life. Be that person that just God called you to be. You won't feel like a superstar, and you don't need to be a superstar. None of us need to. Jesus is the one who we admire. He's the one we adore. He's the one we hold up. And what an impact it leaves in our family. What an impact it leaves in our friends, all those around, that we live the legacy for Jesus Christ. You see, theologically, you can go back and look at the book of Ruth. Ruth was a foreigner and a sinner. You know who that reflects of? Us. Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer, is a reflection of Jesus Christ, who redeemed her and all the property, all the things that belonged to her husband. Jesus Christ was the only redeemer for you and for me. The only one. And He redeemed us. And all of our brokenness, all of our undoneness, all of the things that we are going through, have committed and probably will commit. Jesus says, I want Him. I want her, and I'll give my life for them. Jesus gave His life for you and for me, so that you can live out the wonderful future he has in store for you. Have you repented of your sins today? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you prayed and simply said, Lord Jesus, I know that you love me. I know that you died on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me for my sin? Come live in my heart, and I will live my life for you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for taking me to heaven when I die. In your name I pray. Amen. A prayer, just something similar to that, where you repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior. It's that easy. Jesus Christ already has done the hard things. Do you know Jesus as your Savior today? If you say yes, have you followed through in obedience with baptism? You see, we talk about being obedient. The first step of obedience to Jesus Christ when we receive Him as Savior is that we are baptized. Is that we go through the waters of baptism so that we can show everyone else what Jesus has done for on the inside. So that we can show everyone that we claim what Jesus has done in our behalf as our own. Where are you at today? Do you know Jesus as Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you followed Him through, followed through with scriptural baptism? It's that important for us as believers. God has a great destiny for you. God has a wonderful future. Will you only walk by faith and trust Him to lead you there? Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you for your great love. God, we thank you for just leading us when we can't see the future, when we can't see where we're going. Lord, you're always there. Help us to trust not our own instinct, not our own intuition, not our own ability to rationalize, but God, let us trust you. Help us to grow in faith so that we can understand the great life that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen.